The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-digest Nursing Notes, which highlights examples of nurses creating improved patient outcomes and transforming the new standard of care. You can subscribe to receive Nursing Notes updates at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes content is accompanied by two episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the written format. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on our podcast player at discovernursing.com and subscribe to the podcast series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis.
In this episode of the Nursing Notes Live podcast, I interview nurse Wendy Grube. Wendy is a practice associate professor at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing. She's also the interim director of the Center for Global Women's Health and the director of the Women's Health Gender-Related Nurse Practitioner Program. Check out her interview next. Hi, Wendy. I want to welcome you to Nursing Notes Live. It's great to have you here on the show this week. And I'd like to start off with our traditional first question and ask you why you wanted to become a nurse.
Ah. Well, I think that that's really a good question, especially in this day and age where women can be anything. There was a period in my life where I was actually applying to medical school. And during this application process, I realized that the things that I valued strongly, which were preventive health care and, you know, being that primary care person for that provider that everybody needed and everybody would see, was the thing that was really important to me. And it wasn't valued that much by medical schools. You know, for them, the value was placed on the specialties and the subspecialties, and the only people who did primary care were the, you know, people who couldn't do anything else. And I found that, you know, these were the things that, again, you know, were really important to me. I spoke with a nurse practitioner who was doing exactly what I wanted to do. She was doing ambulatory primary care, that gatekeeper stuff that I thought was so critical to the health and well-being of our healthcare system. You know, in the U.S., people get the very best medical care, essentially, that, you know, could be available. But the problem is they don't know how to be well, and that is essentially a nursing issue. I believe, you know, our concern is for that person and how we help that person reach maximum wellness, and that's health and happiness. And that's not necessarily, you know, the first line concern of medicine. Does that answer your question?
It does. So that's how you got into the nursing profession. And it sounds like that individual kind of led you in the direction where you just kept going and became a nurse practitioner yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I was very, very interested in the concept of the nurse practitioner.
So what is it about being a nurse practitioner that interested you so much? I mean, was it to being that advanced care practitioner, or you know, what was it that drew you to advance and move on? Because so many nurses are, you know, they get out of school and they just can't even have the concept in their mind that they would go back to school because they just got through a nursing program and it was so intensive. But you clearly saw the opportunity to move forward.
Well, I did. And I had, you know, worked in the field as a nurse for a couple of years before I went back to graduate school. And, you know, during that time, I was looking at acute care facilities and what they were doing. You know, frequently it's kind of a, you know, reactionary position, you know, where a lot of these situations could have been prevented. And they were the kinds of things that made me evaluate how our healthcare system in the U.S. functions, that the emphasis is all on treating an existing disease rather than, you know, putting forth our efforts for prevention. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, made me want to pursue graduate work that would be focused on preventive health care. And I think that It was, I think, the whole nurse practitioner movement or advanced practice nursing movement is evolving in that direction. As now, you know, we're really learning that it's very, very expensive in many ways, both financially as well as personally, you know, to wait until, you know, disease manifests itself and then, you know, treat it. We need to put more attention on preventive care. And, you know, really diminish the time that people are actually in acute care institutions. I see that there is now an emphasis on, you know, you have to be really sick to be in the hospital now. And the focus is really trying to get more care to be provided in the community or in ambulatory care facilities, you know, rather than acute care systems. They're very costly. And it's a hospital is a bad place to be when you're sick. You know, it's not very comfortable and homey, and it doesn't necessarily put you in the best situation to get better. I mean, sometimes it's required because of the equipment, you know, that's needed to help your body recover from all kinds of things like traumas or massive infections. But for the majority of the time, it's just, you know, it's a very, very difficult place to rest and heal.
Absolutely. And all of us as nurses, we've seen that shift to getting patients back home and providing that care more centrally or more diversely in the community, I should say, in their homes, rather than trying to bring them into a central location where they just can't get the rest that they need to heal.
Right. So, and, you know, and it's kind of an abnormal, it's not like a normal life situation. You know, they can, sleep is interrupted constantly. It's easy to get disoriented because of artificial lighting. And, you know, there's not a daily routine that people's bodies are used to. So it's kind of very abnormal.
Now, I know you're the director of the Center for Global Women's Health. How did you get involved with that program?
Well, it's actually an appointment from the dean, and I accepted it. I had been teaching a study abroad course in comparing healthcare systems between the United States and Thailand for a little over a decade, as well as doing some work developing primary care sites in rural India. And, you know, I think, again, there are some central themes that I see that are universal to nursing and nursing roles throughout the world is that, you know, most of the healthcare providers, you know, are physicians in this world. They're actually, you know, point of care provider, and they tend to be aggregated in urban areas. So what's happening in the rural areas is, you know, they either have no providers or the nurses are working in a kind of expanded role, almost like our nurse practitioners. And many countries do have nurse practitioners. And then there are countries where nurses in this expanded role are working on or through standing orders from a physician. So, you know, I really see nursing evolving globally to, you know, to really care for people on that primary care level. And I think that that's an excellent role for nurses. Again, we're very community oriented, we're very person oriented, and we have traditionally been that liaison between the individual and the medical world. You know, we've been that bridge for a long time. We've been that patient advocate. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And my area of interest is and expertise is women's health. And so, you know, I've been focusing on global issues related to the prevention of cervical cancer, in which disproportionately, well, first of all, it's a preventable cancer. It's a great model for studying cancer and preventing cancer, but it disproportionately affects low resource settings and developing countries throughout the world. And when we have a model like that for cancer prevention, you know, it is easier for nurses to, you know, really move into a situation where they're an active agent in preventing unnecessary deaths.
And in so many of these rural and agrarian cultures, women are integral to raising the children, and keeping the family together as a unit. And when there's mothers and those women are sick or ill from a preventable illness, it really impacts the entire community.
Absolutely. And again, you know, I think that, you know, point of care treatments, primary care is such a critical issue and a service that's lacking in a lot of developing countries. It could make a huge impact. But even basic maternal mortality, when women are dying just in the act of childbirth, you know, again, that is something that could be prevented by, you know, something as relatively easy as good prenatal care. And so to be able to work, one of the things we're doing right now at the Center for Global Women's Health is we have a multi-country effort through the Pan-American Health Organization, which is a part of the World Health Organization, which is targeting certain countries to improve the maternal morbidity and mortality outcomes. You know, we're really trying to reduce death and poor outcomes during childbirth, that would be attended by, you know, might be nurses, midwives, or traditional birth attendants. So, you know, this is one of our projects that is ongoing at this time to help countries, you know, actually work with women in that very basic type of care.
And it's not just happening in third world nations. You're also working with your students to provide care here in the United States, I think, in parts mm-hmm. of Appalachia. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, this is a very different kind of project. So this is service learning, I think, at its best. You know, a lot of the major nursing schools are situated in urban areas, and yet, you know, we still have this dichotomy of, you know, the rural areas with low resources tend to get the least amount of providers, and providers that may not necessarily be trained in providing in the kind of care or addressing the kinds of challenges that rural health care really has. So we work with students and teach them how to actually collaborate with the community. This community reached out to us for some help running health fairs. And now we go down and we do free screening. We do educational programs for the women that is grounded in the community. And the women tell us what they want, and we provide it. And so that might be things like telling them, what are the major health issues faced by women in your region of the country? And what kind of screening, you know, can help you prevent this? And what are modifiable risk factors? What are things you can do to decrease your risk of contracting this disease? And so it's really empowering for women to be able to then go to their healthcare provider and say, I need a mammogram, or, you know, I need screening for osteoporosis or something like that, you know. So these women are very empowered by that. And we do stress management skill workshops for them. And, you know, we tend to think of health care as being all that's, you know, important in terms of maintaining health, when actually the women really wanted to know how to manage their stress. And so we worked with one of the physicians here who runs the Stress Management Center in developing a program that can help them with something as simple as a mindfulness meditation to help diminish stress. And it's been incredibly successful and such a rewarding relationship over the years with this community. It's just been great.
So you're involved in so many exciting projects right now, currently, both here in the United States and around the world. Where do you see things going 5 or 10 years down the road for nurses? Is there something on the horizon that really excites you?
Well, yes. I think it's kind of this global development of advanced practice nursing to meet the needs of people who clearly suffer from healthcare disparities. You know, I think that's what's happening. There's a conference coming up in March in India that is looking at just this advanced practice nursing and how this functions globally to address needs that are going unmet by large portions of the population in the world. Again, mostly in rural areas and mostly in developing countries, but it is everywhere. I mean, these types of roles are evolving so quickly, and they're being called different things, and the training is really variable, but it still speaks to the same thing, that nursing is filling in gaps. It's identifying gaps in health and healthcare and stepping up its education and its clinical training to fill in those gaps. And I think, again, it's, you know, it's such a malleable kind of profession that's very exciting. That whole concept to me is very exciting.
Yeah, and it really is moving forward, but also looking back at the traditions of nursing. I know, you know, in here in the United States and in other parts of the world, nurses have always kind of worked on the frontiers and the underserved fringes of society, providing care where they couldn't get it otherwise.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. If you look at the Frontier Nursing Service and, you know, those kinds of things, nursing has done that. And in the past, public health nurses had a huge role in that. So, you know, I think that is evolving again. In the one course that I teach in Thailand, comparing healthcare systems between the U.S. and Thailand, we look at how that nurse focuses her efforts on the community. She sees that community as her patient, not the people in the community, but the entire community. So as we were walking through, she saw that there was a railing broken on back stairs leading out of a house, and she knew an elderly woman lived there. She said, that's a healthcare problem. And that was in her ability to address that and have someone come in and fix that for that woman. And she meets with the people in the community once a month and asks them, what do you think are the major healthcare issues that you want addressed in your community? What an awesome thing.
Well, and it's about listening and being a good communicator with your patients and encouraging them to take ownership of their own health. And that's just exciting.
Yeah, well, it's being a true collaborator. You know, rather than it's two-way communication, as you said, but it's really a shared decision-making process. And that, again, is where nursing is moving very, very rapidly. You know, how do you truly become a collaborator with your patient so that you trust them to be an expert in their own lives? You may be an expert in certain medical knowledge, but they are truly an expert in their own lives. And it's a long way from the clinic room to their room in their household. So, you know, how do you partner with a patient to help them reach the best decision for them?
Final question for you, and it's one I always try to wrap up with. As a nurse, you deal with a lot of, an educator, you deal with a lot of student nurses, but what was that piece of advice given to you back in the beginning of your nursing career that you've really taken with you and carried throughout your career?
That's a good question. I think it probably was, it's more important, and this has been attributed to a number of people, but I think William Osler is who it really belongs to, not sure. It's more important to know the person who has the disease than the disease the person has. And I think that's, again, something that has stayed with me always, because everybody sees the world through their own sociocultural filters. And I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Spirit Catches You When You Fall Down, but it looked at seizure disorder from an allopathic medical perspective, where this is a disease and you treat it very aggressively. But for the Hmong family in which this happened, these seizures from this little girl were a gift from the gods. And that marked her as special. And they also came because in their culture, this was like a soul splitting. So the treatments that were trying to be initiated by the allopathic world just didn't sync with, you know, the family perspective on this condition. And so it's much more important to understand where that patient's coming from. We have this pejorative kind of statement that this patient is non-compliant and we punish them. We wind up punishing the victims because they see things differently or things have different set of importance for them. But I think truly it gets to the basis of shared decision making, you know, us to really value that person as the expert in their own lives. And, you know, we share our knowledge and they share theirs, and hopefully together, you know, we can arrive at attainable health goals.
Stay tuned for our next Nursing Notes Live episode, where I talk with nurse educator John Welton. John is a professor at the University of Colorado College of Nursing. I talk with John about his nursing career and about his research in big data and nursing care. You'll find this and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.